Let's go to Psalm 5. This is Favor with God and Man, part 2, I believe. You know, it's amazing how important favor is, but you let go of a subject because you go on to another one, then you forget back to come back sometimes to the one you really need. We need it all, but favor is very vital. The favor of God will promote you, church. In Psalm 5, let's look to verses 11 and 12. I'll be reading from the New King James, then I'll switch over to the Amplified for a couple verses. But Psalm 5, verse 11. Let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. That's what we were doing earlier. We were rejoicing. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Who defends you? Who defends you? Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Boy, there's rejoice, shout for joy, be joyful in you. I guess God wants us to have joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. You are the righteous. He who knew no sin became sin, that you and I might become the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then it says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround them as with a shield. So favor can be used as a shield in your life. I think that's wonderful. Favor will transport you from your current circumstances to a place of blessings. With the favor of God, you are the head, not the tail. You are above only, not beneath. You are blessed coming in, blessed going out. That's what the favor of God will do for you. Look over tonight at Numbers chapter 6. And this I will read from the Amplified. Verses 24 through 26. Numbers 6, verse 24. The Lord bless you, watch, guard, and keep you. We will never know the times. We just won't know unless God shows it to us. How many times God has kept us? From danger, from a car wreck, because you made a right instead of going straight. If you'd have gone straight, you'd have had a head-on collision. There's just so many times God is, some of you may think this is funny. You may have left the stove on and God turned it off. Oh, come on. Oh, he split the Red Sea, but he can't turn your stove off. If your stove is that powerful, put it on the auction block. You'll get mega bucks. Now, make sure you turn your stove off when you leave the house. So we don't want foolishness here, right? We're just saying that we don't know how many times God has kept us. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. I love that. Then verse 26 says, the Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you. Now right there, hold on. That should eliminate any poor self-image. Quit that stuff, because the favor of God won't work in your life if you have a poor self-image. This should take care of any low self-esteem. Look what it says. This is God. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you. And if God gives you approval, what can man do to you? Mankind's fickle. They did it to Jesus. Love you, love you, love you. 5 days later, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Nobody's crucified you yet. Remember that? That's what we call Holy Week. They did that to Jesus. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace. Oh, boy. Tranquility of heart and life continually. That's what the Lord will do for you. Look to verse 26. Oh, how many read? I who got it there? Just shout it out.
So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
Anyone else? You have another? What was that? NIV?
I'm sorry.
Okay, anybody got, how about the amp? I better open it up. Huh?
26.
Yeah, amplify.
And they shall put my name upon the Israelites, and I will bless them.
Okay.
NIV says, the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
Okay, good. They're all good.
Yep.
In verse 26, what I wanted to say is, picture yourself in a large crowd. You were at the game last week. I wasn't going to bring that up. And God forgive me, I cannot tell you. But my Kumbadi, I couldn't talk to Amos. He called last week. I just couldn't talk. I text him and says, I don't have, you know, just couldn't. It's coughing too steadily. So I called him, and he was on his way up to his sister's over there near Orlando. Or place got the nice homes, Daniel, up there by Orlando. Not the Villages, no. Oh. Bob, you were there. Smyrna. He got family up that way. So anyway, let me just say, he didn't say anything about the players. But he ran right through all the coaches, period. He didn't quit. I said, Amos, watch the road. I could see C. Cookie in there. Bless his heart. So there you are. You're sitting in that game or a game, and suddenly the spotlight shines on you. And you hear the Lord say, I am causing my face to shine upon you today. How'd that make you feel? How exciting would that be? The good news is that God has already done that for you. He doesn't have to do it. He's already done it. God favors you, and the favor of God will open doors that men say are impossible. And I'm telling you right now, especially if you're in business, and even if you're not, you can get promoted at your job. Whatever they say is not what God says.
Amen.
This has been done many times, and you get many testimonies. But if you're in any kind of business, you start believing and confessing the favor of God. Now, I got to share this with you because some people think that's all it is. You just can't live any way you want to. The Bible says if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It doesn't say you have to be perfect. But you have to have a right attitude.
Yes, sir.
And God will bring his favor upon you. Why wouldn't he?
Right.
You do that for your kids?
Yep.
You know, that's called spoiling them.
Yeah,
that's right. And that's not up for the parents to do. That's what grandparents do, right? Would you write this down? I know I asked you to do it, but some of you don't, so. God favors you, and the favor of God will open doors that men say are impossible. Because that's something I don't want you to forget, because it's true. Let's look over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Do you want me to repeat that?
Yes.
I'll gladly do it. God favors you, and the favor of God will open doors that men say are impossible.
Yes.
Now let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family. He wanted them to separate themselves. And from your father's house to a land that I will show you, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How many of you would say that Abraham was highly favored and blessed? Big time. Divine favor also rested upon his son Isaac. Isaac was blessed beyond measure. I think Bert used this the other week. I said, I'm glad you didn't go any further with that. But Isaac was blessed beyond measure in one of the worst famines there was. Look at Genesis chapter 26. Abraham was blessed, had favor. Isaac. Did you notice the familiar spirit involved with Abraham and what he did with his wife, by not one, and then his son did the same thing. Some of you thought that was a coincidence. There's no coincidences in the Bible. Genesis 26, look to verse 1. Let's read the first three verses. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, which would be Gerar, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your
descendant.
Guess who's a descendant? If you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. Look over to verse 12, please. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Favor and prosperity go hand in hand. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. How's that, Tim? Wasn't bad enough he prospered. He was very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. You know what, church? Unfortunately, in this day and age, you will have people envy you when God begins to bless you. You may get self-conscious about that. And you know what? It won't usually be the Gentiles or the unbeliever. They'll knock on your door and say, hey, how'd you do that? It'll be fellow believers. Isn't that sweet? That breaks the heart of God. But right here, you see God's favor on Isaac. Favor also rested upon Joseph. Remember his story. That's Jacob's son. But it was done in such a supernatural way. He got promoted in Egypt under a Pharaoh who never met him. And he was in jail and got promoted for a crime he never committed. And notice he never denied it or fought about it. He just figured that was the will of God for him to go into prison. And they shafted him when they got out. They were supposed to go tell. But God still blessed him. Look to Genesis chapter 39. That's not a bad word, is it? Oh, okay, thank you. Well, Timmy, your vocabulary may be a little... Shafted, that's not bad. Genesis 39. Well, they stuck them, okay? Genesis 39, 1 through 6. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. And I know there's been some extreme teaching on prosperity, but you cannot deny that God wants a prosperous people, okay? And here's why. He wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. And as long as you keep that in the forefront of your mind, you won't run out. It's like Matthew 6:33, the theme song of our church. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's simple, isn't that? And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from this time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Now, Joseph wasn't among his own people. He was in a foreign land with the Egyptians. And the Egyptians hated the Jewish people. But God gave him favor. So it was from this time, verse 5, that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. I don't know why that's in there, but he was handsome. Look over to verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever they did there, it was his doing. So he became head of the prison. It's amazing. He was unknown to the ruler of the most powerful nation in the region, yet Joseph was given such favor that Pharaoh handed him control over the land. Now, favor will promote you, without a doubt. Now, you have to believe this. Favor will also cause you to slay the giants. Look to 1 Samuel. It's a familiar story. Let's read it in light of favor. Grace and favor, some say, are synonymous. There's a slight difference. I gave it to you a couple weeks ago. But the key was, remember when, well, we'll get it. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're going to start with verse 37. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. We in the right place? What did I, 1 Samuel 17, right? Verse 37? Oh, I didn't give you the chapter. Well, see, I thought you knew it because of the story of David and Goliath. I thought you... So, and Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk. Couldn't do it, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones. Five is the number of grace. Also, how many of you knew that this giant had four other brothers? So David was locked and loaded. Then he took a staff in his hand, he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy, and there you go, good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. How's that? Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. Here it goes. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day, now everybody else is afraid, including King Saul. And here's David about 15, 16 years old going after this giant because the Lord was on his side. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, verse 46, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it, and he struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Dead. Graveyard dead. I want you to look over to 1 Samuel 13. How many of you are still living in condemnation from things that you did in your past? Huh? Is there anybody here? Let me ask you a question. Do you know anything about David's past? You do? Adulterer. But then he murdered her husband. Any of you ever murdered anybody? Well, let's see what God says about David. 1 Samuel. Now, this is not a license for you to sin. I've told you before, people don't need a license. 1 Samuel 13, 14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. In other words, King Saul failed. Okay? He's talking about David here. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over all his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. He gave him a simple thing, and King Saul couldn't do it. God's favor also rested upon the prophets, all of them. So amazingly that when Nebuchadnezzar seized Jerusalem in 586 B.C., he ordered that Jeremiah be freed from prison and treated well. With that in mind, let's look over to Daniel. Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel 1, verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Remember they went into Babylonian captivity? Joseph rose in Egypt. Daniel's going to be prime minister in Babylon. It's amazing. Another foreign country. Look at verse 3. See how the king changed their names. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. Young men in whom there was no blemish but good looking. That's the third time. Gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Here's some more definitions of favor. One good definition is a favor is demonstrated delight. I like that. Demonstrated delight. The favor of God can be described as tangible evidence that a person has the approval of God on their life. Want that again? The favor of God can be described as tangible evidence that an individual has the approval of God on his life. Favor is what comes on someone else, which allows you to do something you could never do on your own. That's the favor of God. So you're not limited with the favor of God. Favor will always bring you back to the top. Maybe you've slipped and fallen. Favor will bring you back to the top. Here's one. Favor will accelerate your destiny.
That's good. Amen.
Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Powerful scriptures. We are the object of God's affection. We are the object of his grace. We are the object of his favor. And the favor of God will open doors that men say are impossible.
Yes, sir.
Keep that in mind. That's an advantage. The word favor in the modern dictionary means something granted, done out of goodwill or excessive kindness. God displays excessive kindness towards you. And I guess we're to do that to others, isn't that right?
Amen.
Favored means treated with preference or given special advantage or assistance. In other words, you get preferential treatment. That's what favor is. In Exodus chapter 12, we read that God wants his people out of bondage. How many of you realize that? So he spoke to Moses and told him, get your people out of there, but don't take anything. Oh, on the contrary, if you read this correctly, they took everything. Let's look. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 34. Through 36. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. King James says they spoiled, which means to take everything. Look at verse 36. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. God took the wealth of the Egyptians and gave it to the children of Israel. Sounds like the scripture in Proverbs, for the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Wow. We receive the favor of God in our lives when our heart, our words, and our actions line up with God's word. God wants you blessed so that you can be a blessing. If we are going to experience more of God's favor, then we must become favor-minded. Because if not, you'll let it slip. You'll forget about favor. Think the favor of God on purpose. To live favor-minded simply means that we expect God's special help and we are releasing our faith knowing that God wants to assist us. When you live favor-minded, people will go out of their way to help you. Yes, you got to start speaking favor and believing it. Start expecting and declaring God's favor in your life. The Lord invites us to seek his favor. I could go on, but you know what? We're taking communion. Leave you a little bit hungry.